One-to-one iPads and computers for all grades at the Haynes School doesn't sound like a good idea to some community members. And Skagway hires a new tourism director. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. An initiative to expand technology one-to-one for all grades in the Haynes School District is getting some pushback from the community. At a recent workshop, one school board member said five parents told him they would not send their children to Haynes School if there were one-to-one iPads in younger grades. So the school district held a town hall meeting to hear those concerns and answer them.
The Haynesboro School District, located 90 miles north of Juneau by water, uses technology as a tool to infuse learning in students' daily lives.
The town hall started with a presentation about the technology initiative, Engaging the Future. It included a short video from teacher Sam McFeeters showing the ways students use laptops and iPads in the school. Administrators and teachers talked about their vision of what more technology could do for students. Here's Superintendent Ginger Jewell.
We have students who are disengaged. We have students who don't see any relevance in school because sometimes they come to a school that is so disconnected from the reality they see the other 17 hours of the day when they're not in school that they end up counting the days until they can drop out or do something else.
A few Haynes teachers talked about how iPads and laptops have helped them bring learning to a more creative level. Then it was time for public comment. Most of the people who spoke don't currently have students at the school. Some are parents of future school-age kids. Others, like Suzanne V.A. Smith, have children who already graduated from Haynes School.
I do appreciate your enthusiasm, but very much turns me off to have a well-rehearsed selling job, and that's what I feel has happened.
V.A. Smith said it was the people at the school who shaped her daughter, not the technology. The high school already has one-to-one laptops. She said her main worry is increased technology in the younger grades.
I'm just not comfortable with it. The school is the center of the community. I don't want kids to learn how to communicate using a computer. I want them to learn how to communicate across the table.
Other parents agreed. Kids need to learn how to interact with other kids, not with a screen. Dr. Adam McMahon brought up another concern, the toll screen time can take on brain development.
To assume that this tool does not have neurodevelopmental consequences is foolish in a way.
McMahon also asked how one-to-one iPads in younger grades would impact kids' physical activity and hands-on learning. Second grade teacher Kim Sundberg gave an example of a recent lesson about flora and fauna in the Haynes area. She said the kids went outside, read books, and only after that did they use iPads to add more creativity.
And I firmly, firmly believe that there's not one single teacher, including our technology teacher, who would advocate only using this type of technology to further and advance us. We know, without a doubt, that I've got to use markers and crayons. Kids need to talk. They need to have puppet shows. They need to pretend. They need to play.
First grade teacher Sophia Armstrong said iPads would strengthen her ability to teach students at their levels. And in a classroom of 20 students, those levels vary a lot.
There is something where when you're a parent, you know your child. And sometimes you see the world just with your child and you say, my child doesn't need that. But I see all these children and there is times where I have to go, this child needs this, this child needs this, this child needs this, this child needs this. And if it was all paper and pencil all the time, it's very hard to meet all those needs. And so I go, well, that child's not going to get exactly what they need.
As people questioned the damaging effects of technology on children, some school board members and administrators broke in with this. We have to trust our teachers. Here's school board member and parent Tiffany DeWitt.
I do trust them, and they're great teachers. And I know that they're going to make the right choices for my kid.
DeWitt, along with other school board members, said she was concerned about the Engaging the Future initiative at first. But every teacher who has spoken about it has spoken for it, and that says something. At the end of the meeting, some of the people who spoke against technology seemed a little more at ease that teachers would use it wisely. McMahon asked the school district if they do expand technology in younger grades to track it somehow. That way, there would be evidence about whether it's a success or not. They also agreed that parents should be more involved in discussions about expanding technology. The final decision about this lies with the school board. As budget meetings continue, the board will decide how much, if any, to spend on new technology. Instead of expanding tech one-to-one in all grades, they might decide to make it a more gradual process. The next school board budget workshop is on May 26th. Skagway has a new director for its most lucrative industry, tourism. Longtime Convention and Visitors Bureau Tourism Director Buckwheat Donahue retired at the end of April. Cody Jennings was hired as the new tourism director out of a pool of 12 applicants. She started the job last week. Jennings has lived in Skagway for about 24 years.
Interestingly, my family brought me here. My father was hired by the railroad when the railroad reopened in the late 80s, and that's how my family ended up in Skagway.
About 11 years ago, Jennings started working for the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad herself. She says she worked in a few different roles before becoming director of retail operations about 4 years ago. The railroad is one of the most popular tourism destinations in Southeast Alaska. Jennings says her experience with White Pass was one reason she applied to be tourism director.
And above all else, I love Skagway. I want to celebrate it and share it and encourage visitors to come experience everything that Skagway has to offer.
Jennings has a few initial ideas about what she'd like to work on in her new role. One, she'd like to expand CVB's social media outreach. And two, she wants to help Skagway grow tourism in the shoulder season.
I think that we have some room to build out our shoulder season. We already do the Buckwheat Ski Classic and the road relays in September. I'd like to see us working towards building upon those things. We've got a great option here in the summer. What else can we do in what is our off season?
And speaking of buckwheat, Jennings says she knows she has some big shoes to fill. Donahue was tourism director for 16 years. He started events like the annual ski competition and the Skagway Marathon.
I very much hope that I can make him and this community proud.
Jennings says she thinks her experience and her passion for Skagway and for tourism prepared her for this role.
Tourism breathes a life in here. It's just been amazing being here in the last few weeks, even going back into March, just seeing the activity ramping up and the excitement, enthusiasm, and fresh faces. And I think it just brings excitement to Skagway.
Jennings' first day on the job was last Monday. It's the third week of Skagway's cruise ship season, in which 800,000 visitors are expected to come to town. The Native American Fish and Wildlife Society meets in Juneau this week. Tribal and other government officials and staff will discuss climate change, subsistence, Arctic policy, and dozens of other issues. Society activist Norman Hohola is a natural resource manager for the Bureau of Indian Affairs Northern Pueblos Agency in New Mexico. He says the conference will address the role of traditional knowledge in resource management.
A lot of the Western knowledge tends to have them tell you what a certain species wants, a certain species needs, this is how they're going to survive. Instead of, to me, as traditional knowledge would go out, would look at the species, live with the species, and let the species tell you what it wants instead of you telling it what it's supposed to do.
Some sessions will focus on fish hatchery operations and lead ammunition poisoning wildlife. Others will cover more recent issues, such as policing fracking and dealing with meth labs. Another focus is cooperative management. Hohola says that's important when tribes share borders.
These animals have no sense of boundaries, and you know, they're going to move wherever they want to move and whenever they want to move, and it's always good that you have this cooperative effort in managing these resources, because if you don't, then you're just fighting each other.
The Native American Fish and Wildlife Society meets Wednesday through Friday at Juneau's Centennial Hall. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.